With Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about something truly special for your mama? I am. And let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? So here is how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email, and these can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And then mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And then guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. You get to preserve her voice and her stories for your family. I mean, imagine you're discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, the challenges that she had to overcome in life, the way that you two connect and relate, and also the way her grandkids will relate to her. I mean, this book becomes a legacy and something that you and your future generations can truly treasure forever. I mean, your mom's given you a lifetime of stories, so this is your chance to give her a way to share them. And not only am I creating one for my mom now for Mother's Day, but for my dad's birthday, as my dad is turning 80 this year, and I like to gift him with sentimental gifts. You know, he's gifted my family and I so many treasured moments. So I wanted to create something for us to collect these memories and for my future kids, for them to know my father's voice. So beautiful, sentimental, easy to use. Let me emphasize, easy to use. And you can truly create one for anyone. Your mom, your dad, your bestie, maybe even you. So check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC for 10% off today. As someone who is so excited to garden this spring, yet really wants top quality soil, I'm really excited to introduce you to Coast of Maine, which is an esteemed brand renowned for its organic soil offerings. And if you're seeking to infuse your home environment with a nourishing essence that promotes flourishing plant life, you're gonna wanna listen to this, because with over 28 years of expertise, Coast of Maine has meticulously crafted soils sourced from oceanic waters and farms certified for organic cultivation. It's so nice to find such a sustainable, eco-friendly brand who really emphasizes the importance of natural ingredients to enrich their soil. And I mean, they have, like I said, top quality with rigorous quality control and OMRI listed certification. Their diverse range of products caters to all gardening needs. Most of our soils may lack appropriate nutrients for success for our plants, and our plants need this. We want to regenerate the healthy microbes in our soils to set up for gardening success and just for our plants to thrive. So if we add Coast of Maine products, this will indeed help. Whether you're planting trees or shrubs or perennials in your yard, adding Coast of Maine soil in your planting holes leads to a long, slow feeding of your plants, making them self-sufficient and vibrant, which we love. Let's say you want a vegetable garden. Not only will you receive abundant harvest, but there will be less feeding and maintenance throughout the season. Amazing. You know that everything grown in Coast of Maine soil is organic and safe for your family and friends right out of the garden. And then you get to also feel good about their sourcing, as I'm so thankful they provide natural ingredients, because they will never include household waste or biosolids. And we know that nothing nurtures the world above better than the soil below, cultivated from products and practices rooted in Coast of Maine. And so they will continually perfect the art and science of sourcing, mixing, and composting products worthy of the people and the place that inspired their brand and the healthier world it was built to serve. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. We love supporting local, and the products are carried by local retail partners who can provide advice and insight not found in big box stores. So Coast of Maine knows from beginner to expert. Anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community of gardeners everywhere. And their products make organic gardening simple and approachable so we can all garden. So let's get to growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. That's Coast of Maine, like the state with an E, coastofmaine.com.
be in presence, it begins to pull you. And there's this point where you can feel euphoric bliss that lives beyond condition. And I think whatever we can do to nurture that part of ourselves, and one of those ways I guess I'm saying is to simply become the observer without identifying, without opinion, and without investment. And that's also ironically like how we can walk ourselves back to truth when stuff does come up. It's like, what is true when I take my identity out of this equation? What is true when I take my personal investment out? What is true when I take my opinion out? And because we can't always just go to the mind to figure it out, right? But we can have these pieces that we know bring us back, because really all solution is going to lie within that essence.
Now let the magic begin. Hello, Njaima, Njaima Soul Fam. It's Raquel, and welcome to Your Own Magic, a soul expanding and heart opening podcast. I hope you're feeling light or open to feeling a bit lighter today, listening to this very special episode with the one, the only, one of Your Own Magic's favorite queens, Bree Melanson, psychic medium, channeler, breathwork facilitator, and has co-hosted Your Own Magic retreats with me along with many of her own, and has been on this podcast many times, perhaps more than anybody else. This might be her fifth or sixth time. And so I absolutely loved this conversation. And Bree has this innate gift of simply helping people drop in and tune in more deeply. And you feel your soul flying just simply by her presence and listening to her voice. It's like honey. So anyway, this was an absolute beautiful episode, and we prayed before we recorded it, and we were just in flow. We didn't even really know what the conversation was going to be or where it was going to go, and whatever came through felt right. So we were open to whatever message felt right to deliver for the collective. And I also highly recommend going to BreeMelanson.com for more, BreeMelanson.com for free resources on her site, like intuitive training, breathwork meditation, soul meditations, and even free breathwork classes that are coming up. And she's even doing an in-body channeling early June. And she has some amazing courses, programs on there as well, even one that is coming up. I know a lot of people have transformed their lives through her Psychic Bootcamp course, which you can receive a discount when you use the code MAGIC at checkout. And anyway, sponsoring this episode is the amazing meditation app Headspace. They have a very special deal for you when you go to headspace.com/magic. More on them later on in the episode, along with the show notes. And I think it's an offer to definitely take advantage of. And I also wanted to share that Gabby Bernstein's book selling masterclass, which I'll be taking as well, is finally here as of today. And the link to learn more about it and sign up for it is in the show notes. And for those who complete this book selling masterclass, I am more than happy to offer a free one-on-one Zoom chat with you. That'd be so fun to do. And perhaps we'll chat about our books and our processes and whatever else comes to heart in the moment. So if you're a writer or you want to be one, I believe that this is the course that's going to help us indeed. And no, you don't need to be an influencer or have a big following or an established business or even a writing degree to share your story through books. People in every stage of life from every background hear this call to share their story with the world. And I know what it feels like to feel overwhelmed when you know you are about to write a book and just sit at that blank page forever. And what I find fascinating about Gabby is that when Gabby wrote her first book, she had no idea what she was doing, and she had no email list and no literary background, but she knew that there was a story that she simply had to share, she had to tell. she had to create a plan so she could let her inspiration simply guide her. And as a spiritual teacher, Gabby Bernstein feels it's her sacred responsibility to help others share their powerful stories and lessons with the world. And so she is committed to helping you share your message on a big scale and create a movement using the exact methods she used to publish all of her books. And as a number one New York Times bestselling author with 8 bestsellers to her name, Gabby Bernstein believes in the power of books and has witnessed firsthand the movements they create. So for this course, Gabby wanted to remove the guesswork of the writing and publishing and marketing process for you so you can fulfill your calling to spread your message. And Gabby has distilled 15 plus years of experience into the 6-module digital course designed to give students everything they need to get their book into the world. And Gabby gives you her roadmap and shares everything she learned over her 15 plus years as a speaker and author. And Gabby has recruited her own mentors and key guides to share their knowledge as well and their direction so that your questions are resolved and your path forward is enjoyable and smooth sailing. So when we join Gabby for the bestseller masterclass, which I will be as well, we may develop our book's message so that it will resonate with the exact readers that we want to attract, and create a clear and complete outline to stay true to the core message, and get Gabby's step-by-step process on how to craft a book proposal and learn how to find the people who will love our work, our book, and how to find agents and all the nuts and bolts in that department, along with receiving Gabby's marketing playbook and her 6-month bestseller marketing plan. And we'll learn directly from Gabby during 20 plus hours of video lessons, training with industry experts, 6 guided meditations, powerful exercises, and a live 90-minute group training with Gabby. So this is the course that you and I, who have been saying and desiring and writing, even perhaps you also have been in the process of writing but still do not know exactly what to do next, this is the course for us. And so I feel it was so divinely guided, and I'm so honored to be able to affiliate this and share this experience with you. And so the link to the bestseller masterclass is in the show notes, and I am looking forward to connecting with you once you complete the course. We'll have a one-on-one Zoom call all about our book and whatever else we feel like chatting about. It's true that writing a book is truly a collaborative process with the universe, and this is something Gabby understands. And so I find this to be absolutely perfect, as we'll receive spiritual guidance in this course to open us up to become a clear channel to receive whatever information and powerful inspiration, which is key to writing a book and even marketing a best-selling book. So this is perfect. This is perfect. And anyway, speaking of divine inspiration, I'm happy, I'm excited for you to listen to this episode with Bree, as that's what we opened ourselves up to, and we decided to just go with the flow. And I have an inkling of a feeling something is going to light you up in some way. So, and if it does, feel free to leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're using if that calls you, as that helps the show continue. So thank you. And now, I believe it is time to let the magic begin with Bree Melanson. You guys, Bree is back, our favorite. Bree.
Thank you.
People always request for you to come back on.
Oh, you lie. You lie.
No, seriously. You're so definitely one of people's favorite guests, obviously one of mine.
Oh, what an honor. It really is.
What is lighting you up most in this season of your life, Bree?
I think, you know, really, and it is how I was kind of approaching being on today too, is impact and service, or refocusing myself. I think just through, you know, desire and then inspiration. And I think for all of us, this year has really pushed us into our growth, and it's making us get like crystal clear about our values and which worlds we want to entertain. And I think, you know, I had like some life stuff come up before this year, and it's really supported me in being like, okay, what are we doing? where are we coming from? Are we coming from our ego and like our, you know, fearful self, or, and how can I come more from my soul and be of greatest service that I can, like in every way? I think sometimes the ego is like, it can hijack anything. So it's like, mm-hmm. be of service. What's your purpose? Like, go big. You know? And, you know, it's really not about that. It's like how we are showing up, and how we are choosing to like act from spirit versus just like having the awareness of it. And I know for all of us collectively, we're all like continuing to get this big shakedown, you know, like you are not alone. Mm-hmm. If you are still getting that shakedown, and collectively, of course, that's what's happening as well. And it's uncomfortable, but the way that I see it happening is that it's like all those false parts of ourselves and the ways that we've been trying to uphold our conditioned self, our fabricated self, our ego, are like breaking away to like sift to the bottom and be cleansed. And it's generally harder if we're trying to like reach the floor and pick them back up and like glue them back on. Mm-hmm. But it's also uncomfortable to let them go. But I think it's a good like just kind of POV to come to anything with, like, is how do I be of greatest impact within, it could be your work or it could be within a conversation, and how do I be of service as I move throughout my day. So yeah, I think impact, really just how do I make the biggest impact and service within my, and be of service within my life, and then also nature. She's the most litty, like that's what's gonna like create the foundation so you can choose better too, right? And milk those moments with her, because she's it.
Mm-hmm. She's holding you.
How about you? What's getting you litty?
What's getting me litty is, first of all, in this moment, this is all I can think about, what you just said, because I think most everybody listening has their ego that does hijack. And it's nice to hear somebody that people look to as a spiritual guide to know, like, you have those human moments too, and life can frustrate you, take over, and sometimes it's easy to live by whatever our mind or ego or sense of wanting to protect this human can take over, versus opening the heart up to love and whatever may surrender us to let go of our conditions. And sometimes I think, well, what if we have let go of some conditions, but then we realize some of the other conditions do actually make us feel good, just as a human understanding, though, being aware that this truly is an illusion and a condition that was placed upon us. So do we have to fully let some things go?
To remember also that our growth is infinite, and to be compassionate through the process. And yeah, we're human. And to be aware, yeah, like obviously we want to foster our light and what does light us up and what reminds us of truth. And that invites our more inherent self to come forth. And then also to look at the hardship and lean into it, be like, okay, babe, what is the invitation? Like, why is it here? I mean, we unfortunately have to feel all the crappy things. Like, we have to move through it to get to the other side. So when those things do come up, to move through them, and sometimes it is hard for me because I have dedicated most of my adult life to, you know, how the mind works and you know, the spiritual world and, you know, mental and emotional. And so I'll go through something and I'll be like, you know better than this. Mm-hmm. Why are you crying? You shouldn't be crying. You know, but of course I allow myself to, and I want to look at, how is this here for my growth? And, how am I, you know, attaching my worth to this condition? And what is this actually an invitation for? Because we want to welcome, we can't not, we can't evade hardship, right? Like, so yes. I think it's just having a different relationship with it to the best of our ability. Yeah.
Oh, right there. Having a different relationship with hardship. Okay. I love that. And that's so true. It really is all about perspective. And I think I felt a lot of shame hearing other beliefs that can go around in small communities, which might be very true for one person. I would listen and I felt as though, okay, this makes a world of sense and I need to be feeling only light and love. And when I was feeling human, I would feel a lot of shame, you know, wrapped around that. And it just brought me back to the days when I felt that shame when I was part of a certain religion, you know, and that's when I kind of snapped out of it. I'm like, well, there's conditioning in many and programming in many areas. So what is real? Because what is real is what's going to bring that light within my soul when I do recognize and bring compassion for this human. And so I love that reframing your relationship with hardship and understanding, I mean, right now we are human, you know, and I think that, and so whatever your human's going through, it's okay. No one should ever feel ashamed to experience whatever their humans experiencing. And if you want to bring more light to it or bring more purity to it, you know, it's okay to work with it, but be patient and compassionate with yourself no matter where you're at. And so I think that's so beautiful. Leading on to the next thing I want to talk about is that really does help the human tap into their true power, their true self, the power within them that they're soul holds, not only that their human holds. Mm-hmm. How would you define power?
As inherent and unconditional, so it lives beyond condition and therefore is impermeable, right? And yeah, I mean, you kind of already said it. It's like, it's almost like defining power is defining who you really are, because the ego will have you fight for power, that, you know, the ego will overextend or protect, it will assert reaches, but true power does live beyond all condition. And it's okay that we learn through, I guess we can call, yeah, the conditions, I was going to call them illusions, like, but that it's like, it's the only point, right? Like, so if we learn through a relationship or some type of pursuit within a career, we're still learning about our power, but it's not, you know, we're not getting it from that condition or that circumstance. And I also, it makes me think of, you know, the more of like a macro law. And when I'm in hardship, sometimes when it's too close, like, or when I can't deal with like the thing in that moment, or it feels too big, I try to go to macro laws, like what applies to all things. And I think one of those things is that the true essence of truth is neutral, right? Like the essence of all things lives in neutrality and therefore harmony. And like, if we look at nature, we see that play out. We see the perfection that is, you know, truth and intelligence and oneness coexisting. And then, so when we look at how we're moving through our life, it can tell us like more or less just where we stand in relation to truth, right? So if the truth of all things is neutral, and if, you know, we've all kind of had those moments where we access the presence of whatever you want to call it, our essence, our soul, our energy, peace, and it feels blissful. It's not fussed. You know, it's holding you. It's like, I got you, babe. I got you, boo. So glad you came back. and it is neutral, right? And so when you have those emotions come up, it just kind of tells us where we stand and what self we are believing ourselves to be. And so then just taking the emotion more is like the invitation, right? Or whatever the thing is. And like, at, you know, as you're saying, yeah, I mean, we came here to be human. We didn't come here to like, be like love and light. Like we live in duality, and it's like why we're here to fully feel, like to fully feel is to fully live. And so to evade our feelings is to really just like evade our purpose and the essence of life and like what the heck we're doing here. But we just don't want to like do backstrokes in them and identify with them and be like my depression, my this, my that. Like we want to just, yeah, I think like we were talking about, you know, just redefining them. Yeah, that was a long-winded answer, but all pertaining to power.
I love the, I'm a long-winded person and I have all the chills, and I feel as though also we said a prayer before we started this conversation. And so I'm just allowing whatever to flow through. And I feel like you're so tapped in and you've also lived quite the life. And so hearing this expression from you is something that is going to help a variety of people, because everyone listening is living in their own reality that might be slightly different than the neighbor that's also listening. Mm-hmm. But hearing this, it's funny how even though we're all living different realities and different lives, we all can connect to this one truth and this power within us. And what are ways we might unconsciously give away our power, whether that be to society, to other humans, or even just give away our power within ourselves, and we unconsciously do so?
Yeah, I think, you know, like a larger view is like, you know, and I really love kind of looking at even just defining your power as your true self, right? And so what are the ways in which we are like foregoing or not choosing that essence? I think looking at just coming back to, you know, which self am I feeding? Because if we are choosing that effort at like to like fulfill and sustain and uphold the identity, we're essentially giving our true power away. And not to make it wrong, but so there's things like that are more specific, like anger. And it's important to allow anger to come up and to, you know, go through the process of it. But then to realize that, you know, forgiveness is really an act of self-love, because we are remembering in a sense that like, oops, I mean, we're really kind of just forgiving ourselves, because we're, and that's like why we're so angry, because it's like we put our worth and our well-being into a person or a circumstance. And of course they're going to disappoint us, because nobody can make us feel full or okay or loved or safe. Like there, those are things that we can experience in life, but they're not going to, I mean, as you know, it's like the ego is insatiable. So if we keep looking to the person or the next person, we just kind of stay in that loop. So when we hold that anger, it's like a false power. And it's a way, if you think about it, just kind of how the subconscious works. It's as long as I hold, and it's kind of a good prompt to like kind of wake ourselves back up. As long as I hold this anger, then what truth do I know about myself, right? It's kind of like, as long as I hold this anger, you might be like, well, then I know I'm right. Okay. But what else? Somehow we're asking for that person or that circumstance to uphold a greater truth about ourselves, that what, then I know that I'm worthy. Then I know that, you know, I'm a valuable person. Then I know how to define my boundaries better next time. So just looking at like, what is the deeper like thing that we're going for? Like we're really just looking for what? We're really looking for an awareness that, you know, we are lovable, and knowing that we are love. And so like, yeah, anger, comparison, because the interesting thing about that too, it's like we are infinitely different, and here with our own perfect little expression as the whole. And so if I look to you and I think, oh, she has that, I should be doing it that way. Or it's in some sense, it's the same. It's like, as long as I'm maybe jealous of somebody, then I know I can have what? Then I know I can have success. Then I know I can use my voice. And then when I start comparing, I'm not choosing my inherent gifts, right? Because we're all here, you know, it's like our little fingerprints. We're just like, we're all so incredibly unique. And the path to all of our success and abundance is honing in on those parts of ourselves. And I think too, just like looking a little bit at the illusion of attainment, and that can be, you know, I'm attaining money, I'm attaining wealth, or I'm attaining a sense of myself through something. And anytime you're on the struggle bus, you're coming from the illusion that you're separate and that you are the identity. There's something that we're doing there to uphold that part of ourselves. And because it's conditional, it's limited. And then just kind of pulling ourselves back and being like, okay, what am I actually looking for? Like, even success is, as you're saying, you know, so much is conditioned. If nobody ever taught you or told you what success was, how would you define it? And then you get to what you're really actually looking for. And how success in some ways, like when it comes from the ego's perspective, all it really is approval, right? It's like, well, as long as I have these things, then what? Then I'm like fake powerful, like fake. So we're evading, I think, our true power, our true creative power. Yeah, just so many levels. I mean, even remember a long time ago when I first started channeling, I connected, it was with the Palladians, and they were like, hey, well, this is what the deal is. Like, this is like breaking down all these things. I was like, what? I had never known there. But one of the things they said, they were like, I was traveling, and my friend was like, ask about the pyramids. And I was like, okay. And they were like, yeah, you guys totally knew how to channel like energy from the field and yourselves and your own inherent power, and you've forgotten. And they're like, and you're kind of under this like spell, and like you've been fooled to believe that we have to create power in a linear fashion, and then kind of like everything else falls underneath that. Like, you know, then we have to achieve a certain amount, and I give you this, you give me that, and then it's like, mm-hmm. consumerism, and this whole, you know, all of it falls underneath this linear way of seeing the world. And so it's so interesting to look at the freedom and the potential that can come from not only unplugging from our inner like programming, but when we can unplug from the greater programming, then we can access this incredible power we have like yet to tap into. But you know, we're one body, one experience. And so I think, yeah, starting at those emotional places and then stepping into empowerment from like, okay, how is this here for me? How do I move through this more from who I really am? And so that then we can show up differently in the world.
Most of you may have heard of the meditation app Headspace. And if you have yet to try it, well, they have a special deal for the Your Own Magic listeners, and I highly recommend you take advantage of this offer, especially if you have 10 minutes. Headspace can change your life, and Headspace is a daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app, and Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation might be, feeling overwhelmed or burnt out, or you're panicking, losing your temper, flustered, in pain, Well, Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you specifically in that moment. And if you need help falling asleep, which I took advantage of this, by the way, Headspace has wind down sessions that their members swear by, including myself. Last week, I woke up in the middle of the night at 1:30 a.m. in the wee hours of the morning, knowing that I needed to wake up at 5:30 a.m. super early because my friend and I were taking a 11-hour drive. And since I was driving, I needed my beauty sleep, but I could not get back to sleep for a while. And it dawned on me that I had Headspace, turned it on, fell back asleep like a baby. Ooh, I've also enjoyed their guided, semi-guided, and unguided meditations. And I must say that I quite enjoy being guided into a silent meditation, as I do silent meditations myself, but there's something rather soothing about a British man's voice guiding you into a meditation ever so delicately. So no wonder it has 600,000 five-star reviews and over 60 million downloads, and Headspace has also been backed by 25 published studies on its benefits. And for the parents out there, I want you to know that Headspace even has morning meditations that you can do with your kids. And Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall well-being. So you deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. So go to headspace.com/magic. That's headspace.com/magic for a free 1-month trial for access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the deal offered right now. Head to headspace.com/magic today. There's so much there, and a few words kept coming to mind and heart when you were talking about this. Is so interesting, our inner being. It's like, oh my gosh, I know this, but why does the human feel buried underneath these blocks? Mm-hmm. Because we, even though we understand it, we consciously understand it, we still might feel like we can't break free and let go of this illusion. I mean, we're living in a society where we have to pay taxes. We have to make money in order to put food in our mouths. And we have a physical body that does need to eat, you know, and we are bound to society in a variety of ways. And then, so we are striving for certain things because we do want to be financially free. We want to be yada yada. And so our human is still so wrapped up in society. And though I'm not saying that we have to be, you know, go out to the middle of nowhere and totally break free from this world, from society, because we are human and we're here for whatever reason to experience this human experience. Mm-hmm. I totally understand how we are living under a spell, and we all really do have these different illusions, and everything that is shared, that you just shared, feels like, oh, this is so true. I know. But yet at the same time, this is something we might deeply know, we conceptualize, yet because of certain, honestly, boundaries and shackles that the human does kind of live by, it's hard to fully, and because of certain situations that are not really in our control that, you know, might happen with family or friends or strangers or just other humans, other situations happen that might make us angry, might make us, our human, completely unleash and go wild or be completely sad or whatever the human's going to experience. I more so will experience a bitterness or anxiety, or will recognize like, okay, my human's experiencing this and I have actually reframed my relationship, yet at the same time, I'm consciously aware of a variety of truths that are shared from amazing spiritual guides and like yourself, and the messages that are even channeled through spiritual guides like yourself. Mm-hmm. Completely aware of them and I understand them, but then sometimes it's like hard for the human to completely break free, as we might feel blocked in certain ways, if that makes sense. We conceptually understand, yet it might not be 1,000% embodied yet. Mm-hmm. And so how do we just free ourselves and let go?
I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, I also obviously never, you know, want to come off that I do have all the answers, but I have spent most of my life kind of, yeah, diving into this and also supporting others in getting from A to Z. Like, I spent 10 years doing readings and like looking at the emotional scale of things and then the spiritual perspective. And I think, yeah, I mean, knowledge isn't really knowledge or wisdom until it is embodied. And so I think, you know, there's a few things that I've been sharing and also trying to integrate for myself. And I think one of the most helpful things we can do is to create a stronger foundation for who we really are, our soul, our essence, because we tend to think like, you know, sometimes with these spiritual things that come through, it's like, and they, when I channel, you know, a lot of times recently, they're just like, do you think this doesn't apply to your life? Like, they're just like, we're giving you all the answers. So there's the human part of us that's like, yeah, but a spiritual life is one where I don't get to have abundance, or I don't get to have love, or if I love myself, then I can't have this. And that's just the ego, because the ego is obsessed with negotiating, right? Because it lives within a limited world. And the soul and our intuition, it works through all parts of us. Like, our body isn't keeping us separate from heaven. Our perceptions are keeping us separate from heaven. Heaven can be here. And so, again, sorry, I'm just looping back, but one of the most helpful things is like, how can I create a stronger foundation? So even if what you used to do was meditate in the morning and move your body, and that was enough, like what we're experiencing right now is like, it's not enough. It's not enough anymore. Like, your body's like, I'm going to need you to really anchor more in presence. And I think, you know, something like anxiety is, in a sense, our continual denial of presence and denial of our emotions, you know, understandably so. Like, we don't, unfortunately, we didn't grow up being like, well, this is how you deal with emotions. Mm-hmm. but creating a foundation and just like maybe making a list, I've probably shared this on here before, but it's like, what are the things that connect me with my body? What are the things that might bring the essence of my soul in? When do I forget that Brie exists? Like, what are the things that I do when I forget she gone, then she gone? Like, what roots me in presence? When do I feel at one with what's before me? What are the things that I can do? Yeah, I'm kind of saying the same thing, that, you know, reminds me what is true. And integrating those things into your life. And it doesn't take a lot of time. Like, one of those things could just be, you know, one of the things that I've been practicing lately is just trying to not have thought, you know, like the freaking Captain Obvious situation that's always happening. Like, it's just like, so I, when I drive into town, it's like an hour or so drive. And I try to just come back to not identifying. Could we not identify everything? Could we just be in observance? And so I try to just observe and not, and it's, you know, it's not easy. Like, I'm always just like, begin again, begin again, begin again. And it's obviously easier in nature. But when you allow yourself to really be in presence, it begins to pull you. And there's this point where you can feel euphoric bliss that lives beyond condition. And I think whatever we can do to nurture that part of ourselves, and one of those ways, I guess I'm saying, is to simply become the observer without identifying, without opinion, and without investment. And that's also ironically like how we can walk ourselves back to truth when stuff does come up. It's like, what is true when I take my identity out of this equation? What is true when I take my personal investment out? What is true when I take my opinion out. And because we can't always just like go to the mind to figure it out, right? We can have these pieces that we know bring us back, because really all solution is going to lie within that essence. Like all creativity, all inspiration, all healing, all truth revealed, all of that happens within the present and within the unconditional. Like we have to rise above what is in order to shift what has been. And so again, the ego mind wants to go, well, how's that going to work? Well, what about my rent? And then, yeah, it doesn't mean that you have to just give up everything, but like, you know, it was like meeting it halfway and creating the space for that part of ourselves and realizing that, yeah, again, like the pain and the hardship, that's there for us too. And we can't get to the lesson right away, but I think maybe even like looking at where and when have I grown the most in my life? And maybe it's like some free writing, and you'll probably find that it was like, well, it was the pain, it was the catalyst, but it was when I leaned in, you know, and I moved through it. And maybe it was the times when you jumped and like you chose love, or you chose like newness, or it's almost like your higher expression. And I'm trying to move through everything as consciously as I can, and as hard as that may be, and allow myself to like feel it, to heal it, remembering that really, if everything is the essence of light and God behind all form, then why not work to see that? If that's the only thing that's going to bring us peace and everything that we want. And then one more thing, I guess, that I...
Oh, I'm loving this.
Okay. Love this for us. is looking at like all of the aspects of ourselves, like even the mind, you know, the mind wants to serve. It's just like, boo, I got you. Where you want to go? And taking compassionate accountability for what are we feeding our mind? What are we ingesting, and what's the diet we're giving to our mind? If we have the ability to be really all geniuses, where are we offering our life force? And, you know, looking at what would it look like to be more disciplined with the mind, because if we use the mind for our ascension, we will ascend. But, you know, and I understand, like, yeah, it can feel hard to disembark from the patterns, but it's really just about a lot of small shifts, right? And, you know, that sometimes comes in like what I might call like an anchor, which would be like a truth, something to come back to. You know, not that maybe it's like, if it's about love and you're like, I don't really like the affirmation of like, I am worthy, because I'm like, worthy of what? Worthy of who? Yeah. You are love. Like, you are love. And, you know, in my remembrance of this, I call more forth, or whatever it might be that you can access that has the unconditional piece to it. So redefining the mind, like, what if my mind was my greatest tool for my ascension? Then what? How would I treat it? How would I support it? How would I be using it? And then doing the same thing with your body. Like, what if my body was just a vehicle for my greatest incarnation? How then do I see it? And how do I treat it? And what do I want to do with it? And then looking at, you know, our heart space, and remembering kind of like there's that difference between the emotional heart and the eternal heart, like your eternal heart is kind of like the soul, right? It's not the thing that tethers you to pain, that it tethers you to truth. And the emotional heart, again, is telling us where we stand in relation to that truth. We're sentient beings. We're here to feel our way through the fabric of duality. And so allowing ourselves that you can't evade feeling, and a lot of our problems are from that, our addictions and our, you know, our kind of emotional patterns that feel more like conditions. And so inviting them in as gently as you can, and just looking at maybe like the greater truth that they really bear. And just remembering that it's all an invitation, like as hard as it is. Like, I just went through some crazy sorrow a couple weeks ago, and I was like, well, what the what? Like, there was, I like thought this part of myself was gone. Like, I was like, yeah. Oh, heal that. And then I was like, oh, she's alive and well. She was waiting to be deployed. Mm-hmm. And just moving through like those unpleasant emotions. But I kept coming back. You know, I was like, okay, we're doing breath work again. We're getting in presence again. We're gonna just keep approaching it. And again, like we keep saying, you know, it's an infinite process. So yeah. There is no there. So I wasn't like, you stupid idiot. it wasn't fun, but I knew it was there for me. So I'm continuing to try to lean into it.
And this was only a couple weeks ago. And I remember when you were, obviously I remember because it was a couple weeks ago, but going through it. And I think it's beautiful that it's so true that our human's going to continue to be challenged, and it's okay to honor your feelings in that moment. And what's beautiful to see is that we have these tools we can reach to help us, again, reframe our relationship with whatever's going on and see from that, how we can lean in and what the growth or what the experience, whatever the lesson is from whatever that scenario was, and to not beat ourselves up. You were talking about observing, and one exercise that I've done a few times, especially to learn more about my human, as all of our humans have our own little struggles. We drive our own little struggle buses, right? that we don't have to live with, but I like to, instead of run from it or suppress it or bypass it or pretend like it's not there, and I can say all these truths all I want, but it's that feeling it to finally release it is what really matters. But before I even sometimes do that, it's nice to, I love that you said observe. I'll sometimes zoom out and look at this human like she's on a big screen, just like, you know, watching her live this life without that emotional connection to her, to navigate like how, if I were to see somebody in that position, like what would be their best message, or what is something that I see that she might not see. And then that definitely brings a new level of awareness and compassion for what I'm going through, and excitement for maybe the beauty of the reason. Like, I'm actually very grateful because it brought me, honestly, to deliver messages and share my heart openly with a bunch of people on this podcast and connect with people like you. And if it weren't for experiences in my life, I probably wouldn't even be doing this, what I'm doing today. And it is from all the heartbreak or the human experiences that, you know, is leading me and is leading whoever's listening to where they're going, where they are today. I mean, people listening are listening to this podcast for whatever reason. And I think it's beautiful because not a lot of humans care to dive into this stuff. And because I think a lot of everyone listening is likely a very sensitive human and perhaps has their human struggle, perhaps not, but perhaps does. Therefore, the desire, the awareness and desire to even want to tune in to that inner power, tune in with that soul, that eternal heart within you, is already, in my opinion, and this is for lack of a better term, a win for the experience of the human, because not a lot of humans are even willing, or they might be conditioned to believe, to seek externally, you know? So I think that in and of itself is a win. And so even though you were going through that a few weeks ago, you have the tools and you're able mm-hmm. to, even if it still hurts or whatever, your human mm-hmm. is in her power mm-hmm. no matter what. And that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, how else do we learn, right? But to move through it all. And I taught this like breathwork class on emotions last weekend. And before I teach those live classes, I always channel for the group. And because we were asking about emotions, can I read just a little something that they offered, because it speaks to what you just said?
Please, please, please. So this was a channeling, or this was just a Q&A thing?
Yeah, this was a channeling. Cool. So I sit before class and I'm like, okay, what do we need to hear? What do they need to hear?
I love it.
And again, like this is a longer, I think it's like a 5-page thing, but I'm just going to read a couple paragraphs. So the tears of the heart you feel are the rending from your eternal being. So when we feel pain, we are, this is Bree speaking now. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of translating that line. When we feel our heart being torn, they're making the analogy that we are tearing ourselves away from truth. The strife of the heart is an important one. You must remember that all things bear divine wisdom. And if there were no pain to redirect your course, could you be guided alone by your eternal heart? And they were kind of like, you couldn't, could you? If there were no struggle within the human experience, how rich would it be? If you did not experience the contrast of a dualistic life, how would you come to know the fullness of oneness? If it were not here in this moment, if you had not been given this gift to feel, then how would you determine your reality? We're offering our hearts to you during this time of grace. They're talking about our collective, what I would call a shit show. They're calling it grace, which that's why I'm here doing my work. We are offering our love to those of you who fear you have lost your way. We assure you that the law of oneness, meaning truth and the law of oneness, will always prevail, and that your light will magnify the presence of God for others to follow and to come home to. So what they were saying is like what we were talking about earlier, like it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be some big purpose. But when you do this deeper work, you are magnifying your own light essence, which creates like this collective light that people are drawn to. So then they're pulled to also whatever, do the work, begin to return home. So they're like, we don't know that really on a conscious level, but they're like, it's real. And they said, if the prevailing law of oneness is not linear, right? It can't be oneness. Please do not approach your matters of the heart as so. If your matters of the heart feel as though they are and unescapable, do not attempt to escape them, but rather allow them to hold you. We mean that by allowing the full scale of emotions to be felt, all parts are given a voice and a channel for expression and becoming. For only when we allow the forces to move through us can they be released and transmitted into wisdom. And then they broke down some feelings like, so if sorrow arises, what truly is asking to be mourned? What aspects and voices of the identity must be heard before they can make their final farewell? Which I love, right? Because I experienced that too. Like I was actually, when I was experiencing sorrow, I was experiencing sorrow about these aspects of myself. And again, I wasn't like being hard on myself. I was just like releasing those, falsities. And let's see. Anxiety is the fear that arises when plans and perceptions are driven by the fearful self. The self who believes themselves to be only of the physical world and therefore a limited world. So what is true about love? It is the essence of creation. It heals all things it is directed towards. So what would it look like for you to love your suffering into healing, into its own transcendence? Feelings of inadequacy and not enoughness also derive from the fabricated self attempting to receive love and worth from the outer world. Its attempts will always prove futile. So can you love what wishes to be embraced? For when you release the needs that uphold the linear self, You are held by the unconditional, and you will find that no matter how you astray to any form or degree, this essence holds you. So why not work to arrive to its embrace? Many fear that it is more complicated than this, or that it cannot be the answer to their suffering. But those who make this claim have not yet felt fully the arms of grace. So let this be your prayer. Ask to be held by the grace that is oneness. Search with your physical senses to witness it before you. With small effort, heaven will be bestowed upon you. For only by the hands of God can you truly be held, and you can replace God with oneness or whatever. But I thought that last part was so beautiful, and I can say that because it didn't come from me. Starting to cry, like, you know, just, that is the best ask. Like, let me be held by this grace that is oneness, and then having the mustering the courage to really look for it here. And they've really been repeating that a lot lately, that heaven is here, heaven is here, heaven is here, heaven is here. The miraculous is here. As you look for it, you, and see it, you become it. And that is the transcendence. So much sweetness they're always offering. Yeah.
I was just visualizing many people saying that as like a little prayer daily. Whoever's listening.
Yeah, sure. I one thing that I'm gonna find it really quick, but I've been saying lately, I'm like, oh God, or uni, whatever you want to say it. I'm like, I need some help seeing truth right now. It's looking really foggy and I can't see it. So can you please help me to see the light, you know, of truth and love or whatever it may be? And that has been my surrender, because I know, you know, I know my greatest desire is to see from the eyes of, I say God, but again, whatever. It's like, I know that that's what it's all here for. It's so that we can experience unconditional bliss and be in reverence for life. I know that's all I'm ever looking for. I think it's the condition. I think it's the person doing the different behavior. I think it's like the attainment, but all I really want is to be in reverence for life. So, so that last bit that they offered was, so they said, when you release the needs that uphold the linear self, you are upheld by the unconditional. Many fear that it is more complicated than this, or that it cannot be the answer to their suffering. But those who make this claim have not yet fully felt the arms of grace. So let this be your prayer. Ask to be held by the grace that is oneness. Search for your physical senses to witness it before you. And with small effort, heaven will be bestowed upon you.
just a little bit.
If you could just meet us, not even halfway, just just a little bit. We got you. I like to, it's a lot of things that we've been talking about. It's like, where is, again, I know like God isn't for anybody. And when I say God, yes. I'm not like God, you know, the man in the sky. Like, I'm just like, I replace God with like love, oneness. So whatever it is, whatever you're looking at is, where is the God in this? It's there, right? It's the soul that's in front of you that actually is your soul. We're just consciousness experiencing each other. And so where is the, like, looking for the magic in things, you know, even if you're just staring at a tree, if you can, we can be so lucky to sit with the tree and witness it and really get present. It will take you to that bliss. And the reason why it takes you to that bliss is because the identity is lifted and she gone. So it's like, what are the things that help to lift my identity? What are the things that give me room to let my essence forth? Because everything is living here and now in the present. And I really have been seeing that lately through these transmissions and very little practice, but like, the, you know, obviously the portals are our consciousness. It's what we're doing with our will. What are we choosing to see? And so maybe, you know, just that real simple practice versus needing to go back and do the belief and this and that and the other. It's like, what do I want to see in this moment? And again, like, yeah, well, what is this an invitation for or to, you know? And yeah, witnessing without that. I know it sounds like, well, but like if you, they actually said in this transmission, they said, if you do that, like if you practice really getting into presence and you let it take you. And I've had a few moments in life, mostly because that isn't practiced, but where I allow myself to be there and it does transport me to, it feels like the present moment is the best moment that's ever been, but within an unconditional space, like, okay, yeah, maybe the condition is I'm in nature and it's easier there, but I'm not like happy because I got a thing. And they're like, if you practice that for 10 days in a row, you will experience a miraculous healing. And I really saw that it's like, oh, that is, it's pulling that energy in. That's the energy of creation. And so I've been trying it. I haven't reached that bliss state. I've just been doing it for a few days. But I'm going to keep showing up. I've been trying to, like, after lunch, I tell myself I'm going to sit in presence for 10 minutes, and do my best. But yeah, I think there are infinite pathways to that. Like if we're all creative beings. So, yeah, so much will bring that essence forth. Yeah, and then consciously just using your will to recognize that versus the humans, like, would be like, I'd be like, it's a shit show, this horrible thing. Mm-hmm. But trying to see, yeah, what's really there.
Whew, so beautiful. Is there a place where we can read this or listen to this?
You know, I don't have it up yet, but I do have a bunch of channel transmissions on my site, and it's under resources. So my website is BreeMelanson.com, and then you'll see channeled insight. And I did record one that I did for the new year. And I asked, like, you know, what's the deal? What do we do? What do we do? And so it's in the form of an MP3, and it's under one that says, like, solstice, it's like setting, it's talking about manifesting, and I think it says new year. So there's a recorded, and I'm going to be hopefully making more, and I try to get these up. So, I want to say, like, I'll put it up on my website, but, I will try, because I'm due for a little bloggy blog.
People appreciate that. Indeed.
Yeah. Because they did, like I said, it's like 5 pages, and they did break down a lot of emotions. Like, they were like, well, this is this. They were like, you know, anger is with the withholding of love to maintain an idea of the self. Sorrow is the dying off of a personality become worn. Fear is the anticipation of the physical world being unable to hold you, which it cannot. You must rise above the illusionary world to dissolve your fear. Anxiety is the denial of emotions, I would put in presence, but same thing, I guess. It is the evading of the discord that arises to guide you back to truth. Depression is the heaviness of all things untrue. In most cases, it is the result of living within the constraint of the mind. Getting more deeply into the body, the earth, and presence would be our remedy. Sadness is hope disguised. It is the desire for a turning of tides without the trust of God and love and oneness. Yeah, they offered kind of a breakdown of some other things, but I thought those were really sweet ditties too.
I love that. Depression is so complex. Mm-hmm. And I think some soul, for whatever reason, decided to choose a human that's wired this way for the soul's expansion, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. None of it's too vague. For sure. Yeah. And like that, all of those things are not to be like, your trauma's not real, you guys. Like, it's more just like, here's, like, with anxiety, it's like, yeah, it's a continual not choosing, mm-hmm. right? Like, and so it doesn't mean that it's not a thing, but it's just kind of the awareness of how are these things a call? Like, anxiety specifically it's a call to presence, albeit a loud one, really loud one. You know?
Yeah. When people are in that fight or flight state, like their life is in danger or something, they're experiencing anxiety in that present moment. That's different than feeling anxiety because you're so in fear of what you don't know about the future or whatever it is, you know?
For sure. I mean, that's not, there's conditioned fear and there's instinctual fear. Like instinctual fear, you know, allows us to run from the scary thing. Mm-hmm. And like, but if you look at the natural world, they run from the scary thing and then they go back to grazing. They go right back to homeostasis.
Yeah.
Conditioned fear is what we choose to carry with us unconsciously or consciously because we have the gift of will. Like the gift of will is really essentially our identity, right? It's like where we're, what we're choosing to absorb and to express. And yeah, I think with anxiety stuff, you know, my friend, her son, you know, experiences anxiety. She called me one day and she was like, oh my God, Brie, like, what do I do? Should I take him to the hospital? And I said, well, he's like, I think he's like 19 or something. And I said, well, she said, if he will talk to you, will you talk to him? And I was like, sure. So he called and we had a nice long chat, but I walked him through just something so simple. And it is like something that we can, like, it'll just take a minute, but then to come back to it is a good practice, is like just taking some breath into the body and dropping out of the mind and just beginning to like breathe into your emotional body and remembering that, again, it's our scale. It's how we're taking in and interpreting life. So we are not our emotions. We are not our thoughts nor our past, and just kind of breathing in to the body. And it's okay if there are the emotions that are there. A lot of times, if we can just get present enough with them without needing to identify them or get rid of them, they can dissipate. So if you are bringing your awareness to an emotion, just really bringing your soft, nurturing presence there. And again, not needing to fix it, or just maybe even like you could imagine like a soft light, and just drop it into the body and knowing that the body holds our intelligence. Nothing really lives in the mind. The mind is just meant to translate and wisdom and intelligence, like infinite intelligence, and carry out. And so the mind is just like our receiver. And so if you have an emotion that you experience often, or if you're having it now, like just being aware of like where that emotion comes up in the body to be heard. Because that's again, that's all it's really doing, is just asking to be heard and kind of transmuted. And so, or maybe you just have the awareness of where it is. So like for him, it was in his chest, and I just had him like softly tap on his chest just to like kind of call it, like, okay, it's right there, right? But you might experience it in your belly. You might want to put your hand on your belly. You're just connecting with that energy and that essence. And then just gently asking, what is it that you need from me, my beloved? What is it that you need? And how can I help you? And just trusting whatever you sense. You know, for him, he heard it right away, which was so cool, because he, you know, here he hasn't had experience doing this type of thing, and he heard, I need you to love yourself. And he goes, whoa. He was like, I can't believe what he was like, I can't believe I just heard that. And so we can connect with it quite easily. We want to make it complicated. So I was going to just offer, like, trust whatever you think it is. It's not some angelic voice, right? And so, you know, whatever it is that you feel or sense, and you may even want to ask, what are you here to teach me? What is the greater truth you really carry? And if there's something that it needs, like sometimes I'll practice, you know, if you did hear like self-love, or I need to love myself, I'll just like kind of imagine, like, what would it feel like to breathe in love? What would it feel like to allow that to really move into that space within my body? And what would it feel like to allow it to move through my cells and expand through me? And or if it's peace, what would it feel like to breathe in peace? Again, we're not trying to get rid of it. We're giving it a voice, and we're soothing ourselves, because again, no one can really hold us but us. So it's so important for us to learn and to continue to kind of lean into the depths of what that is for all of us. There's so many processes, but maybe it is, maybe you're coming back to an anchor around, and by anchor, I mean like an affirmation of like, I am love. I am the love that I seek. I am the truth that I seek. I am whatever feels right, you know, whatever you may hear, or, I've asked that before in meditation, like, what do I do when I forget? I want to go back out in the world. I'm going to forget. And then I'll hear something like, your job is to love. And so then I'll come back to that. Any hardship. Okay. My job is to love. So making it, I think, less complicated and, having the creating the space to hold ourselves more deeply, more even. I think that for all of us, like whatever we were doing before, is like, well, that's not enough anymore. There's a lot going on, and it's all a call. It's all an invitation. We just gotta have the courage to do so, and remember we're not alone. And I think too, like sometimes we gotta step into it before we kind of like put the greater call out, right? So if it is, if you're like, I'm alone, I'm always doing this by myself. And I think there's a sense of really fully stepping into it, and they will come, like be in the magnet, right? And be stepping away from the need. Because it's a really intense time. This is like no other time that humanity has gone through. Like we are, our kind of like, identities took the wheel so strongly. I mean, I read the other day that within the last 50 years, we are now like 50% of the world's species is extinct in the last 50 years. Like we've really gotten on this train of attainment and this illusionary kind of path, and it's just so important to root back and to get back into relation with ourselves and earth and each other and our hearts and our feeling, because really again to like to live fully is to feel fully. Giving ourselves permission to do it. Let's do what we came to do. Do it already.
I have to say, Brie, there's something about your presence and your voice that just drops us in naturally. So I appreciate your genius, showing up in the world the way you are. And I know that everyone listening, whatever you're going through, I think that this was a beautiful reminder. Whenever your human is feeling whatever it's feeling, to take a beat, to drop within and take a beat and remember love. I think mm-hmm. that is honestly key to coming back to that eternal heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, to what extent am I upholding my identity? It's in direct relation to our suffering. Or, you know, if it, identity, you can say separateness. And yeah, that love is coming back to our oneness and our remembrance of what is before us is us. Mm-hmm. It ain't easy, but it's what we signed up for. And if we didn't sign up for it, we're here. Yeah.
All right. So I want to ask you that last question I ask all the Real Magic guests. You've answered many times before, and I love that it's always different for everybody. Every guest that comes on a multitude of times, it's usually different because there's many messages to deliver, but there's something that might be ringing in the heart right now. Mm-hmm. So on this day, how would you advise the Your Own Magic listeners to create their own magic?
I just live fully, embrace it all. And Yeah, I think, false power preys on fear. And I, especially with like what's going on right now, and we're like protecting this sacred life we have, like, what are we doing with it? Like, in all those years of doing readings, I learned that we don't fear death. We fear that we will not fully fulfill our potential. So yeah, like let yourself, our freest, most abundant, self in life is within our most transparent expression. And it's what we need. It's what the world wants. It's what we all want from you, is for you to be fully you, and to allow that miraculous nature to move through you. I think, yeah, just like within, yeah, all the ego will have you believe you got to negotiate for your entire life to get whatever. But it's like when we open to that essence of ourselves, which is oneness, we allow for life force to be made real through us. Like, we call in massive amounts of potentials and people and forces to work with. So, tapping back into our power is really just remembering our oneness, which is, our soul, our loving self. But you are so very needed, and you are here with great purpose. And again, don't let the ego hijack that, but you came, I believe we come here, we are here very specifically at this time, with great reason, and your heart and the work that you're doing is just so vital. Yeah, so thank you. I want to thank your community and just whoever's ears this is laying on. And I just also want to love, and I love you guys, and I love you, Raquel, and
I love you.
Revolution time.
It's time for revolution. Where can also everyone connect with you?
Just my website is, I have like a lot of free resources on my site. I have like a 90-minute intuitive training. I have breathwork meditations and soul meditations, and lots of channel insight. So it's BreeMelanson.com, and my the gram is at Bree, Bree dot Melanson, Melanson. That's where you find me, in the ethers and or Big Sur. I don't know.
In the ethers.
That impact service thing, I was like, okay, all right. How do I do this in the best way possible? How do I make the biggest impact, the greatest service? And it's so full with so much, a lot of the stuff we talked about today, intuition, moving out of, our limitations. And it's got breath work and channeled stuff and meditations and lessons and practices to integrate and embody. So it'll be coming out soon. And I, maybe, like you said, maybe not that I like need to come back on and plug it, but maybe I'll come back on again when that's rolling. But it should be this month. May is the goal. Yeah, and we will be doing scholarships as well.
I love it. So everyone, keep your eye out for that. It might already be out. We don't know. But yeah, Bree, I love you, obviously.
Yeah, thank you again. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yomis, that is a wrap. That is a wrap for this episode. I hope that something spoke deeply to you, expanded you in some way. Please let me know if so. You can catch me on Instagram at Raquel Mantra. I spell Raquel a different way than most, so you can see the spelling in the show notes. Or hang out with the Yomis, the like-minded, very conscious and expansive and helpful souls on the Your Own Magic Facebook group. Especially a place to turn to when it comes to, well, whatever you're going through. And there are several tools on the EuroMagic.life membership site. All right, well, thank you so much, and have a magical rest of your day.